Post-COVID.
What?
Post-COVID it is.
Right before COVID, you used to get a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, we used to get a lot of people before COVID. I can't even remember before COVID.
Okay, this is not good. If I don't get in the right box, I'm gonna be in trouble. Okay, here we go. Sounds good. Okay, good morning. I hope this is good. Harvey, maybe you could check online to see if you could find me there. But I'd like to welcome everybody here. Today's share, we actually have people from more spots than just South Florida. I'd like to welcome back old South Floridians, Central, I'm not even sure, Northern Florida, right? A few, Central, North, Kananahara. We're covered across the state and beyond our sister state of New York. But welcome everyone. Also, of course, all the people at home, which we hope this is being seen online.
It is.
So I want to say how today's share came about. Quite interesting. The yeshiva is learning Maseches Baba Metzia. And as a shtickle daring Rebbe, and I decided, really with the encouragement of my Talmidim, to learn Perek Ezeh Neshech and Shir. Now, the challenge of Ezeh Neshech is a very, very rough Perek. I did give Shir in it 7 years ago. But the Talmidim in my Shir happened to be Rebbe. You hear them, you know, they're into investing, they're into stocks. They know of these things. So I figured, oh, you guys think you know finance, know this, okay. So you guys must have, I think you guys have the heads to deal with something like this. Mice is quite challenging, especially to go through it, but Baruch Hashem, we've been through quite a few sugyas in Perek Ezeh Neshech. And I was learning, actually, with someone outside of the shir, and we're going through some of these sugyas. And the first thing he says to me, well, it was one of the first days I was learning with him. This person actually is in school training to be in finance. He has a father that runs a multi-million dollar hedge fund. So he says to me, what about hard money loans? Now, I've heard about hard money loans before, but I wasn't like, I didn't take any of them. So let me first explain what hard money loans are to the, in my simple understanding. And Baruch Hashem, we have here today some experts that could expound on it. But the simple idea of a hard money loan is normally you need money, a normal loan. You're buying a house, you're starting a business. So you go to a bank, right? As they say, the banks is where the money is. You take out a loan. Okay, we'll have to hawk about the ribbis. Yeah, sure. And you get your money, you get your loan. We know what interest rates are because you look at the newspaper. It's quite common. The banks operate with standard interest rates. So great, you take a loan. It's just a question. Are you taking a loan from Chase or are you taking it from Wells Fargo? That's a basic normal loan. A hard money loan is a situation where people need cash. They need cash right now. One case might be you're a small business, and you have to buy inventory. You have to pay workers. You need, and you don't have much cash flow. You need the money right now. And if you don't get the money, your business could go under, especially after all the COVID restrictions governments put on a lot of small businesses. People press for cash. I think that actually drove the hard money market quite a bit. So people were looking for quick loans, not quick in loans, but quick loans, and they're desperate. Hard money lenders, pun intended, capitalize on people's desperation. They need the money. Sometimes you're dealing with people that don't have good credit. They can't necessarily even go into a bank and get a loan. And they expect to be able to turn over and spit back, even though it's a high-risk loan, but they hope to be able to get the money back soon. And they're willing to pay exorbitant interest fees. Now, what are exorbitant interest rates, right? So what is the, you know, the common interest rate? Not much, right? Even if after they raised it, right? 5%. But when you talk about hard money loans, we're not talking 5%. We're not talking 10%.
Credit cards are like 20.
Some are 10%. Some are 20. Some could be even 30. In my research for the share, I've heard of people, actually, people I know that are pulling in over 40%. You know, someone teetering on 50%.
Over the legal rate, you don't have to pay back interest. I think at a certain rate, I think over 25 or 50%, you don't have to pay back the principal.
Oh, wow. So this is totally under the table. Right?
There's all kinds of laws.
Yeah. Okay. So people are bringing up here in our advanced audience that there is some regulation in to how high interest rates could go for these hard money lenders. And I assume the official ones, there are caps mentioned in numbers.
I think it's about 18%.
18%.
If you loan half a million or more, you could go to 25%.
Okay.
That's it.
So we're talking about 18 to 25%. And I was told pretty reliable information that people are over the 40% mark. So obviously that's under the table, and that's that's between two parties without government oversight. But these things are happening. So today's share, we want to take a look at, once you're dealing with finance of lending money and getting paid back, quote unquote, interest, that is the area of ribis. And that needs to be discussed halakhically, how we dealing with Torah's Isurim of Ribis. We'll see hard money loans are going to present a problem which is different than all other types of loans. And hopefully today's share will address it. That's the plan. Now, two points of introduction. I'm debating in my mind which one comes first. Anytime you talk about ribis, I think there's two things you have to talk about. Number one is the chomer iser, how big of a problem it is. And number two is the unfortunate general ignorance of it. These are complicated halachas, and it's not something you're going to learn in grade school. To be honest, it's not something you might learn. You could go through many years of yeshiva, lav dafka, you're going through Hilchos Ribis. You know, it's one of those areas that not so simple. People shy away. I have a kollel at night. I offer them to learn Perkei Zeh Neshach. No. It's scary. It's daunting. So, Baruch Hashem, in the world today, there is so much more. I mean, to compare the amount of knowledge today and shirim that are going on these type of topics in the world today to even 20 years ago, it's a world apart. 20 years ago was a desert compared to what we have today. There is a lot. They have conferences. There are people involved in the business world that get together, and they have conferences. They have rabbanim, mumchim. There are a tremendous amount of experts in the world today on Choshen Mishpat. There are many svarim in Hebrew and English. I brought a couple here this morning. There definitely is, Baruch Hashem, a tremendous growth of knowledge in this area. one of the stories I was told even this morning, you know, there's a curve that people are learning about these halachas of Hilchos Ribbis. Sometimes, you know, it's never too late. I saw a nice psak from a Moshe. It's not in Igros Moshe, but it's in these newer Masoros Moshes, leave Chelek Gimel, where Moshe dealt with a case of where someone came to him. They already were over, you know, they set up a loan. They already was ribbis. So, you know, debating what could he do now. Okay, you know, he could cut it. And let's mikano abo, set up a heter iska. You know, there are situations. You find yourself in a situation where there's ribbis. Okay, consult a local, not a local, but a, you know, someone who's an expert. There are hotlines. There are a lot of mumchim involved, and I could give resources that people could reach out to. And as long as your loan is still in, you know, still going, efshel asakein, you could fix it. And you know, Baruch Hashem, in that sense, is a lot of growth. But let me first tell a story. This is an introduction of Rabbi Reisman's sefer. It's a great story, scary story. It's a great story. In Europe, there was a money lender, a Jew with a crooked nose, who was known to be ripping off the local populace. And, you know, as we mentioned, many of these cases, not, you know, it's not amazing that people don't know fully the halachas, and we'll see in a moment maybe the Gemara. But this person was terrorizing, you know, he had people over the barrel, he had the money, they didn't, and he would charge people, you know, interest, high interest. And the person passed away. And the Chevra Kedisha is dealing with his burial. So they quoted to his family an exorbitant price for his burial. And the family was right, you know, obviously upset. Okay, we know our father wasn't the most popular person in town. Right? Yeah. They're not singing a song about him that he's a big tzaddik. But Lamaisa, how can you do this? How can you make the family play double, triple the going rate for a Chevra Kedisha? How can you do that? So they went to complain to the great Reb Kiva Eger. They go to the famous Reb Kiva Eger and they complain to him. This is what the Chevra Kedisha is doing to us. How can they do such a thing? So Reb Kiva Eger thinks, sitting there thinking. Like, they're expecting him to, you know, write a whole kol kore and blast the Chevra Kedisha, disrobe them. What does he do? T. Vager says, I think it makes a lot of sense. Excuse me. He's like, well, normally the Chevra Kedisha charges a price because it's only temporary. Chazal say one of the punishments, potentially, for someone who really terrorizes people with ribbis is Tchias HaMesim may not be knocking on his door. So thus, if you're a long-term occupant of this spot, you're going to have to pay a higher fee than those who are just passing through, as we say. That was Reb Kiva Eger's line. Rabbi Reisman brings it right here. In the introduction to the Sefer. I don't think I have to say anything else. That's rough. The Gemara, I'm going to read the Mishnah in a moment, but if you look at the Gemara, it's also fascinating. It's the Gemara, it's the mamash the end of Perek Ezo, Nashach, Ayin Heim and Beis. Josh knows when to walk in, right after the scary story. Okay, he's good. Tanya, Reb Shimon Omer, Malvi Bar... Mavi Beribis, it's the last few lines of that Gemara there, that I quoted at least. Yozi Mashem Arvichem Afsidim. More than what you're profiting, you're losing. Which, after the introduction of how much people are profiting, this Gemara, someone knew that people could profit quite a bit. More than what people are profiting, they're losing. For lo, oh, not only that. El Shemes Simen Moshe Rabbeinu Chacham. They're making Moshe Rabbeinu into a chacham. What's so bad about that? If you look at Rashi, the way Rashi learned Pshat, Lishna Ma'alya Nakat. The Gemara is saying it nice. It's like when you say someone who curses Hashem, you know, he's Baruch Hashem, he's Mevarach Hashem. It usually means the opposite. Make Moshe Rabbeinu look like a fool. V'sarasso emes. V'omrim, and they say, Ilu hoyodea Moshe Rabbeinu, shayu revach bedavar, oyikosvo. Ha! Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't get finance. Had this rabbi known how much money he would make, he never would put an isser in that in the Torah. Now, that's quite a line. Right? It seems that the Gemara is saying this is a mentality. Again, I don't know if the Gemara is saying this. You know, not talking about a person who does a bishoge, doesn't really know. But, you know, that guy back in Europe who is terrorizing people, that's who he's talking to. Somebody who's b'shat nefesh, you know, clearly violating, knowing clearly the halachas and still violating it, say, come on, it can't be the Torah asr sort of thing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew the prophet, never would asr. I was bothered by it. You see this Gemara. Okay, you know, we know people do averos. You know, this is not the only avera person could do b'mezid. Why is the Gemara saying specifically by ribbis such an idea? That somebody says by ribbis, oh, if Moshe Rabbeinu knew how much money he could make on this, he never would answer it. Moshe's silly. Moshe's a fool. Yeah. Why are they saying this by ribbis in particular? I see the Marshal explains this Gemara. That sounds like a specific mentality, more by the Isser of Ribbis than any other Isser in the Torah. Because the green is right there in front of you. The Mora Heter, the, you know, the excuse which blinds a person, the Negia, the temptation is so much. It's easy money. Money gets money. I could do it, especially. You know, you think smoking is addictive. How about you make money on, you know, a ribbis case? That's also addictive. Mishiyesh l'mano ratzim asayim. I don't think Chazal say you want one cigarette, you're going to want two. It's no such Chazal. It's addictive. But by money, it might be even worse. Mishiyesh l'mano ratzim asayim. And it's easy access. And there's a mora heter, more than any other avera. Chazal here are saying that when it comes to ribbis, people are just, they, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're crazy to passing up such money. You don't have that anywhere else. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu, you're crazy for passing up Chol Shabbos. You're crazy for passing up Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos. No, it says it by ribbis. Because it's a certain mentality, it's a certain taiva, and it's very hard. Now, what I'd like to do is go over some basics of Hilchos Ribbis, then get to the general concept of a heter iska, and then after that, get back to hard money loans. So just this Gemara gives also a good background. Look, this is the end of a Mishnah on top of the page there on Ayin Hei Amud Beis. The eel over and below sase. These are the people that violate the negative commandment. Hamalve, the lender. Yeah, that makes sense. The lender who's lending with ribbis, with interest, violates this. Vahalove, and the borrower. Vahaarev, right? The borrower. You'd think here that's quote unquote the victim. I'm the victim here. I'm getting charged an exorbitant rate. Okay, but you know what? No one told you to do this. You didn't have to do this. Right? It's not the same thing. Pnei Yeshua makes this chiluk. It's not the same thing as Geneva, where someone's taking your money against your will. There might be certain pressure involved. But sof kol sof, you're the one giving over the money. You're taking a loan.
Yeah.
So the Torah says the borrower also violates an Isser Ribbis. Arev. The guarantor, the co-signer. I'm not taking the loan. Look, if he can't pay up, you know, this guy's pretty good. I'm only a co-sign because this guy is, you know, good for his money. You played a role. You're an arev. You also get an isser. Ha'edim. People sign on to it. The lawyers.
No,
Yeah. The lawyers. Torah comes after you too.
That's Basher.
Right? Right? V'chachamim omrim af ha-sofer. Chachamim say not just that, but even the scribes, the people who write up the documents. Yeah, maybe that's more than a lawyer. But, right?
Didn't have accident cases back then.
So, they're all over Mishom Ositein. You shouldn't give ribbis. Al tikach mito. Mishom Osilo Kenosha. Mishom Osisimon Olav Neshach. A whole laundry list of lavim, you know, that unfortunately a person violates when they're involved in this. So the Gemara goes through, not necessarily all these yisurim apply to each person, but there's a nice package here. Yes?
The trap, so to speak, to fall into is too simple, because if you know that the only way a person who needs money is by going to a guy and paying 25%, and you can give him a loan at 10%, that everyone involved thinks they're doing them a favor.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right?
There's also more risk on these loans. When you give a conventional loan, you expect it to be paid back. On these, you know a high percentage you're going to get the property.
Right, so you understand why the guy would, it's no pain, no gain. Right, the people are earning their money because, you know, it's a challenge. There is a risk, high risk involved. Yes?
Is this a one-time avera, or is it continued?
Excellent point. Excellent point. It definitely is something, like we mentioned before from Ramosha, that we don't just say, okay, you did it, the Shas Ketzitza, you did it this time, you set up the loan, and now it was done with. No, we say get out of it as soon as you can. So it's definitely something that the Avera lingers, at least. If not for the Lomdusha step, you get an Avera every second. But it's definitely something lingering that we want to get rid of. So, yes?
That came up about 2 years ago with the whole thing with
Quicken Loans.
Where the postman were saying you're over on it continuously until you get out of it.
Yeah. Now, let me just quickly summarize. You know, basic halacha is a ribbis, which different things were tossed around here in the share. Ribbis is an iser when one Jew is borrowing money from another Jew. If there's a Gentile involved, he's borrowing the money or he's giving you the money, that's not ribbis. Ribbis is between Jews. I actually saw Rav Moshe was asked years ago, before they published some English Sefarma. I'm not sure which English Sefer this question was asked him about. And Rav Moshe was very weary of publishing clearly halachos of ribbis in the vernacular of English.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you're giving Shakespeare food for, you know, for his fodder. That Jews, there's only a prohibition on Jews, you know, lending ribbis to another Jew. But to a Gentile, take advantage. Obviously, that's very, very dangerous. We have enough anti-Semitism in the world. We don't need more. And, so that itself is...
Well, there's also been a concern about Jews misunderstanding what they can do with other Jews.
Yeah, so it's a good balance. You're right. People have to know the halacha. So, you know, should not post this on the internet. I don't know. Malcolm, you know, X is not reading this, coming to my side, I hope.
Sure, my father's English book can be erased there. Every single place that says non-Jew in this book, of course, I don't mean the non-Jews that we live with today, just the old pagan
really
worshippers.
So I wonder if he was the one who asked the Shia. I could have. He's been writing English Sfarim for years. That makes sense. Right, Bonner would be the one. And he puts, yeah. I remember once I spoke in public, and I used the word guy. I grew up in Brooklyn, you know. I could have used worse words. I said guy.
You could use the S word.
And I had, you know, a chash of an older Rav who was in the, listened to my share come over to me, and you know, so you have to be very careful the language you use. I mean, for to a Gentile, you know, a Gentile, I guess, is a more gentle word. Nah. Rabbi Paris, you'll tell me what they say in manner school. But yeah, so yeah, you have to be careful. Derech Eretz Kamal Torah. But with these halachas, but that is a very important one. People have to know that, you know, that it's a different business world if we're talking Jew to Jew or we're talking Jew and non-Jew. And as I mentioned, yeah, it could be you could get an easier rate between Jews, and people feel justified for charging higher rates sometimes because, you know, there's a risk that goes involved. But at the same time, you might view it as a chesed, but if the Torah says this case fits into the guidelines of Ribbis and there wasn't anything done to take care of that, then it's not a chesed, then it's an avera. You're not helping the person. We just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're actually entrapping the person. That's lifnei iver lo siti michshol. So, you know, we measure our morals based on the Torah. Now, Ribbis, I'm not going to go through all the halachas of Ribbis. You know, the Mishnah, the beginning of the Gemara has a statement from the great Shimon ben Yochai that, you know, if you borrow money from somebody, and usually he's not the guy that, you spend too much time with, the Gemara says, and all of a sudden after you borrow money from him, you're going over to him every week, and, good Shabbos, dear patron, good Shabbos. Oh, you know, that could be Ribbis. Ribbis comes in all types of forms. Harvey could just be a donut. Right? Any means beyond the norm of interaction you have with the person who lent you money, that's already a Ribbis situation. First thing the Gemara says over there. Obviously, okay, you have to know situations, you have to know different things. But the classic Doraisa case of Ribbis is when all the terms of the Ribbis were signed up ahead of time. That's what we call Ribbis Ktsutza. A case, like we just mentioned, some favors being returned, extra graciousness, whatever, that's not Ribbis Doraisa. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. That's not Ribbis Ktsutza. It's Aser. Shouldn't do it. But it's a different Madrega. What we're talking about is financial agreements that you're setting up ahead of time where you have these clauses and there's interest involved. That's Ribbis. Now, for small loans, look, what the Torah really encourages in Kesef Tavas Ami is one Jew should lend another Jew money straight up. That's really what the Torah encourages. I know a big businessman who tells me he's lent, he can tell me how much he lends, but he lends lots and lots of money, thousands and thousands.
He
could be
free.
And he says, I never took a heter iska. He never did it with what I'm about to go through in a moment, the concept of heter iska. He says, look, I'm lending money. Torah says in Kazatava Asami, I don't do heter iskas. I just do it straight up, no interest. That's very impressive. Right? Very impressive. That's not the norm. The reasoning, obviously, why people would want, you know, just, you know, would want get involved with interest is, look, I have my money sitting right now in some investment that's making a decent return. For me to take that money out and lend it to you, I'm not talking small money, I'm talking decent money, big money. I'm not just lending you that money, I'm losing out that interest. So that's where the idea is, look, I'm willing to help you out, I'm willing to do a chesed, but I want to lose in it. The same way I can't gift you $100,000. I can't gift it to you. Also, I'm making a good return on that. I'm not ready to forgo that. So that's where this whole concept we'll get to in a moment of heter iska comes in. Now, could you technically use heter iska for small loans too? Yeah, of course you could. But, you know, it's a trade-off. You know, definitely more of a chesed if you give interest-free loans. But when you're dealing with bigger money, for sure, it's understandable more why, okay, you know, $100,000, I'm making a decent return on that, I'm not ready to give it up. Okay, some people will. I need $1 million. I need $5 million. So definitely there is room and there's a big area where this heter iska idea comes in. Now, where does it come from? Where does the whole concept of heter iska come? I think it's quite fascinating. The heter iska does not appear in Perek Ezel Neshach. There is zero heter for loans with ribbis inside the entire Perkei Zohar Neshach. I think it's also quite interesting when the Shulchan Aruch discusses the heter of... I did a double take the first time I read the Shulchan Aruch. Like, the Shulchan Aruch says it's Asar. I'm like, what? Well, we'll get there in a second. But heter iska, by definition, is something that's not so simple. But let's go what the basis of it is. There's a Gemara in Stone Bob Matzia, but later on, Kuf Dalam and Beis. The Gemara says like this, Amri Nardoi. Nardoi, Yeshiva, this is what they were talking about. Hai iska pal gamilva u pal bikado. You could have an investment which is half a loan, half a pikadon, literally entrusted money, but that's where the investment's going to be. Avi Rabbanan, Nilsa, the rabbis made a takana, they set up a din, the nikhle lalova, the nikhle malva. They made up a situation which is going to be good for the borrower, good for the lender. The Hashem yipaga malva, yibayim mishchi be'yischara, shaperdom. Now that half of it's a loan, I could invest in it, and everything is good. So let me explain. A simple example, you're a new business, right? You have some idea, you want to invest in it. Now, you have a great idea, but not all people who come up with great ideas have cash flow. So what do? You go to your local Shark Tank, get an investor, and he'll help you out in this. Now, Pashup Shah, you just get someone to, you know, quote unquote, invest with you, and what's his motivation for investing with you? Oh, he's gonna make a profit. So let me get this straight. He's giving you money that you're gonna pay back, and he's gonna make a profit. What's that called? Ribbis. Classic Shark Tank. You have an idea, I got cash. I'll give you money. You pay me back. You pay me back that money plus more money, and we're all happy. No, that's ribbis. Ribbis doesn't only come in the form of what we call classic loans. Ribbis is business.
What if it's not guaranteed?
Oh, so we'll get there in a second. Yes, that's good. Now, look, right? Many investors, they're willing to invest with guarantees. Is exactly pointed out.
I mean, so, guarantees that they'll be paid back.
Right. So the case which I just set up, I was making a case where there was guarantees. The person's guaranteeing, I'm paying you the money back, plus we're going to make a hefty profit, and we're going to be smiling all the way to the bank. That's one way, quote unquote, to have an investment.
Why is that?
That would run into ribbis. Pashtas.
But this investor is buying a percentage of company. That's not...
That doesn't exist.
Why?
So, in Shira, we were hocking this. All the guys came up with your angle. What do you mean? He's buying stock in a company. I don't think it's so posh that you're buying stock in a company that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You're lending him money so he can start a business. Not so simple to call that a stock. Okay. Fine. Okay, it could be we could structure such a thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Structure such a thing.
Of course, yeah.
But
there's no economic reality to this whole discussion
right.
at all. Because there's time value. That's why it's taught. If you take economics in college, okay? These laws, you know, they exist. You know, they used to burn Jews at the stake for charging this kind of interest, okay? But there's no reality to it because every time is I have money in the bank, they're paying me bookers, you know. So I'm not gonna stand for that. I'm gonna move my money out of there where I can get more interest on my money. Especially today when you have 8.5% in inflation.
Right.
You're
losing money.
You're losing money. Okay?
Exactly.
The bank is like is making a fortune. They loan this money out for, you know, how much for a car loan today? I mean,
right.
You know, that's and credit cards.
People are definitely looking to make money 100%, especially with inflation. You're right. you have to beat the rate of inflation. So that all the more so people are looking to make a quick buck, a long-term buck, all of the above. Now, the institution of an ISKA that Chazal talk about over here is sort of divide and conquer. For an investment, I could give you money, which you're going to invest, right? That means I'm the investor. I give you the money. Whose money is it? Mine. It's my money. You are a shomer. It's no difference if I give you my dog to watch or I give you my money to watch. Except my dog to watch, I tell you instructions. I want you to walk the dog around the track 3 times a day. My money, I give you also instructions. I want you to invest in this and this project. You're a shomer. If that's what's being done, that's okay. You're allowed to give money to someone else. It's your money. You're risking your money. The halacha of a shomer, let's say, even if you're getting paid, a shomer sacher, he's only responsible for negligence or geneva aveda. But if an accident happens, you invest the money and you end up losing, that's not on the shomer. That's on the original owner. So people are allowed to invest their money, lose their money, right? It's one of the beautiful freedoms of America. We could invest our money and lose our money. Yes. Right? And with other freedoms, we could also make profit. Yes. Not every country has this. But many times a person doesn't want to put all his money up on your bonehead idea, you know, that I'm investing in. I want some guarantee. So Chazal came up with a beautiful strategy called Iska Mechsa Milva Mechsa Pikadon. What that means is we're going to split this, we'll make it for simplicity's sake, into two halves. Half of it's going to be a loan. Half of it's going to be an investment. The investment is the way I just described it. It's the investor's money that the managing partner, the quote-unquote borrower, is watching. That money is invested. That money, literally the profits from that money, is going to go back to the lender, to the investor. The other half of the money is going to be given to the managing partner, to the borrower, as a loan. The profit from that half, the borrower is going to get. So in this type of situation, you're literally splitting the profits simply 50-50. The borrower gets half, the lender gets half. The lender, is getting ribbis. No, he's not. The lender is not getting ribbis. Because the lender is making money on what we call the investment side of it. On the half that's a picadon. It's his money. It never became the borrower's money. The borrower is making money on the loan. So what that really means is the borrower is responsible to pay back 50% as a loan. That he's responsible to pay back. He guarantees he's going to pay 50% as a loan. But the other 50%, he doesn't guarantee he's going to pay back. Doesn't. That's where the risk is involved. To be an investment, this is the key point of the entire Heter Iska. To be a Heter Iska, to be an Iska, you need to have risk. There has to be no guarantee on your money. So since the other half of it is an investment, and he could lose his money, and I'm not going to pay you that back, so then we could do that. It's Palga Milva, Palga Pikadon, and everything is good. Based on this idea in the Gemara here in Kuf Daled, the Rishonim already brought in Shulchan Aruch, set up a concept called a Heter Iska. Is that when you want to borrow money from another Jew, the Gemara's case is within business itself. But now the Gemara took it sort of out of the world of financing investments and put it into the simple banking world of taking a loan. This was a step that the Rishonim did beyond the Gemara. Yeah. The Gemara is talking about investments. How to make sure investments don't fall into a trap of ribbis. The Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, Adayom, developing the concept of a heter iska are expanding that to a simple loan. I'm borrowing money from you. I'm only going to lend you that money. You need $100,000. I'm only going to lend you that money if I can make interest. We're going to transform this loan from a simple loan to an iska, a pavel milva, a pikadon. But to do that, you need a few things. You need to make the first thing you need. There has to be risk. You can talk about what numbers, the percentages to do. It doesn't have to be necessarily 50-50. But for simplicity's sake, we'll go with 50-50. That means 50% is guaranteed. The other 50% is not guaranteed. There has to be risk. If there's no risk, that's not an investment. Now, then there's the concept of a heter iska, which is a document. I actually put one on the back of your sheets. You could find heter iskas all over. This one I took from Rabbi Reisman Sefer, but there are many forms. This is the most common heter iska. There are other ones, multiple, all different types, some widely accepted, some not so widely accepted. You know, there's all different versions. You know, Rav Mendel has a version. Who's Rav Mendel? Well, he came up with a heter iska that was popular for some time. All different types. Yeah, yeah, there's some debate about it. But this is a form you put on to just any other big business agreement you're doing, any loan you're doing. Taped to the back of, stapled to the back of that is this form, and it enables one to go through the process. And what's very important is you have to know how a heter iska works. If you do not understand the basic concept of how a heter iska works, it's not going to work. In fact, just this morning, someone told me a story. They're involved with somebody until they convinced the person to get involved with the heter iska. It took some time. And then the person, you know, writes on it, you know, yeah, I don't really, I'm signing this, but I don't really mean it. Okay, that's not a heter iska. You have to understand it, accept it. Really, this should be done with Rabbanim. Don't try to do this at home unless you've done many already. But it definitely needs oversight. Yes?
Okay, so in Israel, yeah.
Yes. And excellent question.
Miracles.
They have banks.
He means Jewish. Yes.
So there's a case where the guy signed a heter iska, and then the guy didn't pay back. So the bank, you know, instituted legal proceedings to get their money.
Right.
And they got affirmative defense, heter iska, that I'm not required to pay it back. And the court found from him, and the bank said, from now on, we're not going to do heter iskas anymore. Because we don't want people, they're interposing this thing as an affirmative defense to defeat our ability to collect our money.
Well, and is testifying against the problems that lawyers make in the world today.
You know, it's lawyers just doing his job.
If it was really lost, you don't have to pay it back.
Yeah, correct, right. So there is some defense in that.
It's a true.
But yeah, but he's wreaking havoc now. They dumped the whole iska, heter iska there. Okay, I don't know what bank. I don't know the story, but yeah, doesn't sound good. Now, so this is the basic concept, and there are tons and tons. I'm sure people here could give edus. There are so heter iskas are being signed every single day. I don't know by the minute how many, but there are Jews are very involved, and there are a lot of Baruch Hashem loans being done with guidance with heter iskas involved. Now let's get to hard money. So look, we do heter iskas everywhere else. We have all different types. Smorgasbord of options. What about by hard money loans? What about that? So here's, I spoke to some poskim, I did some research, and in fact, I remember this in the back of my head, but one poskim actually sent me to it. There is a kokori that came out a few years ago. This Kolkori was signed on by all the big, many of the big poskim. Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shmuel First, Moshe Heinemann from the Star K, Shlomo Miller from Toronto, Rav Belsky Zatzal, Rav Hill David, amongst others, where they write very strongly that there's a big danger in hard money loans, that there a heter iska may not work. What's the reason? Sounds like a great deal, heter iska, why not? We'll make an investment in this. So the argument against it is the only way to make this type of, to make a loan into permissible heter iska is where you could classify this not as a loan, but as an investment. And if the rate of return is so high, outside of Madoff, who gets such a big return on their money? Who gets such a big investment?
Ivan Bosky.
Right? He must be Madoff's friend. Right? Where do you get such returns? And think about it. Right? Let's say, you know, what are the numbers? You know, whatever your return is, you're going to be splitting it in half. Right? Because you can only walk away with half the profit. The other half of the profit is going to be the loan part, which the managing partner is going to make. Assuming, you know, your numbers are 50-50 or whatever. But there's still some split involved. So if the lender is coming out with high interest rates, that's a problem. I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman used the number 25%. I saw others use a number of 16%. With Daniel Asher Kleinerman, I think he has a loss of 16%. So, yeah, if the hard money loans are rising, you know, especially these ones under the table, which are rising to exorbitant amounts, you're running into the fact we can't really justify calling this an investment. This is much more than this is not than an investment. This is not. This is a loan that you figured. This is a loan. This is a hard money loan. That's what it is. And it will not be so easy to find a heter iska that fits that. If the money, if the rates are lower, we're talking about a higher end loan, but not a crazy, you know, depends how hard the money is. Not a crazy one. Okay, that could fit potential guidelines. But something that really, once the numbers start getting astronomical, then you're really hitting terrain which is outside the purview of a heter iska. Just Thursday night, people heard already. For Shabbos, I was lucky. I was in yeshiva all Shabbos. Nobody bothered me about this share. But already Thursday night, sitting in the base medrash, one of the rebbeim was learning with the chavrusa, those guy for years. So he warned me ahead of time. It was a good thing. I wasn't jumped. He told me, you know, my chavrusa is into hard money. I don't know. They say the numbers. My guys are telling me, Rebbe, every guy comes from New York, moves into Hollywood right now. They're all into hard money. Now this one or that one, Miami Beach, right? Yeah, to get a $2 million house, you have to be into something off the bat. But they say there's a lot of Yidden that are involved in this. And so this guy comes to me. He's a rabbi, you're giving a share in hard money loans? Tell me, is it us or mutter? So I said to him, tune in Sunday. You know, I have till Sunday to answer you. So, you know, we should lose a little bit. So I explained some things to my ribbis. I said, oh, I have no problem. I never lend money to Jews. I don't trust him with hard money loans. Okay, Baruch Hashem has no problems, but he does have problems. For Maisa, you know, there's really two aspects. Today's share is focusing first and foremost on the halacha. You know, the halacha of it, hard money loans could run into major problems that you won't have a heter iska, and therefore that money would be ribbis. And as we talked about, ribbis is a big issue. Even putting aside, you're just doing with Goyim, I think, you know, we have to be, you know, a little cautious. You know, if Moshe Feinstein was nervous about writing an English sefer, and as was testified, the author, it seems like he's probably still shaking when he wrote a sefer, you know, what language to use to talk about Ribbis and talking about the Gentile world. We do have to be careful, you know, that the world shouldn't know that the hard money industry is looking like the nursing home industry that is controlled by Jews and will give us... Okay, no admissions over here. But it is something to keep in mind, you know. You know, Baruch Hashem, I think in general, the Jewish world makes a Kiddush Hashem in business, and people respect the honesty of a Jew and the trustworthiness of a Jew. And, you know, money transactions could be the same. But to realize, to understand these halachas of loans with interest could only work halachically if we have a heter iska that fits it. And hard money loans goes into an area where there's a strong likelihood. These gedolim signed on to a kol kori about it. It's interesting what the Feinstein is. But they signed on to a kol kori where they are expressing that it's not so simple to write up a heter iska for something that does not look like an investment. It looks like you have the guy over a barrel, you know, a hard money loan. Bez Hashem, the schus, you know, of people keeping the halacha. Like the Gemara says, person loses out more than he gains by doing a loan with Ribbis. Of course, the opposite is also true, multifold. A person holds back from doing the wrong thing and not lending with Ribbis. The bracha he gets is beyond the money he would have made. It's double and triple that. And Bezos Hashem, we should all be zoche to have parnasa berevach the right way. Thank you very much for listening. Bezos Hashem, next week we hope to have our grand finale. Tune in.